Hello, welcome to Goat Homeschooling with Erin and Amanda. I'm Erin.
And I'm Amanda.
You're listening to the podcast for long-haul homeschoolers. You know, the ones that have been living this homeschool lifestyle for at least 5 years and plan to continue through high school. We're here to help you have the greatest of all-time homeschool by covering relevant topics with relational stories from our own home educating experiences. Our guests are fellow long haulers, experts, and authors serving the homeschool community who will encourage you as you continue on in the high calling of parent and home educator. Hello, and welcome back to Goat Homeschooling with Erin and Amanda. Today we have a guest with us, Larissa Darter. I actually got to meet Larissa at the Bloom and Blossom workshop that I was speaking at a couple months ago. And as soon as I started talking to her about what she does as a homeschool mom with her business counseling, I just knew that I wanted to have her on as a guest. So welcome, Larissa.
Thank you.
Yeah. So do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and your counseling and how you help other moms and other people?
Of course. Yeah. So my name's Larissa and I am a homeschool mom and I have kids in ages 8, 6, and 4 years old. So we've been homeschooling since my oldest was in preschool. My oldest, he's very happy-go-lucky kiddo. Just his name means happy, and that encompasses everything about him. And then I have my middle child, who's a very deep internal thinker, very observant. He likes to ask deep, thoughtful questions. And then I've got my youngest, the four-year-old, and she is just a ball of energy and confidence. So it's just a fun pack that we have together. I have been in the mental health field since I went to college. So I started off with a psychology degree and went on to get my master's in mental health and counseling. And so I've been doing that for about 13 years now. And I started out in the foster care system working as case management for families wanting to adopt or families who are needing reintegration. That sort of thing. And then I transitioned into a psychiatric ward or a psychiatric residential treatment facility. And what that means is I worked with children ages 3 to 22 who also had maybe disrupted from the home or were having difficult challenges, and they were there to live and go to school while they went through therapeutic work. So we did group, family, individual therapy. And then for a time, I also worked at a college campus, university, doing student counseling services there. And currently now, what I am doing is private practice. And so I work from home utilizing telehealth. And I started that back when I was working at the hospital. I worked evenings in private practice, but that was in person. And then the thing that transitioned me to telehealth was COVID. So during the pandemic, I had old clients reaching out wanting to get back in, and it's just kind of blossomed out from there. And I just ran with it and continue to do it this way. So
that was one of the things that struck me about you, was when you were giving a little background when we first met about your experience with the foster care world, because I also was a foster parent and have two children adopted through that system. And knowing just what mental health resources are so valuable for those kids and the families. And then also just your experience as a homeschool mom in the mental health field. I just really would love to talk with you today all about how to prevent burnout or how to recognize burnout with homeschool moms. Because, you know, as Amanda and I talk a lot to the long haulers, I feel like mental fatigue and all of the things that we take on as moms, especially when it comes to home education, it's such a huge, it feels like a burden sometimes, but it's a huge responsibility. And it's a privilege really that we get to do this. But the mental side of it, all the decisions, you know, the decision fatigue that comes with which curriculum are we going to do? What co-op are we going to do? How do I manage the household when everybody's here all the time? It just gets to be a lot. And then that's not even talking about all of the other issues that come with, you know, marriage and extended family and health issues that a lot of us have. You know, chronic health issues are, I think, rampant in general society, but I feel like a lot of homeschool moms also choose homeschooling because they have things going on with their health. So do you want to talk to us a little bit about how you address these things with homeschool moms specifically, or some tips that you would have?
Yeah, I'd love to. So my practice is called Prosper Counseling. And really the mission of that is just to find well-being and happiness in a holistic way. And so that's what I'm hearing as you're talking right now is just the emphasis on focusing on our whole selves. So you've got like the day-to-day and the responsibilities, but we've also got our physical health. We've got our emotional side of things, tending to our own personal emotional needs, and then our emotional needs of our children. And are they developing in the healthiest way possible? We carry all of these concerns and burdens for them, and then also ourselves, right? And possibly spiritually. And then we've got socially, again, tending to our social health and our children's as well. So there's a lot of moving parts that we're thinking about as moms. And what I find a lot is we're very heavy focused on our children, which is good and needed, right? But in that, sometimes we can overlook or forget about ourselves and our own needs. And then that's when we start to feel that fatigue, like you're talking about, or that burnout. And it's not from a bad place necessarily, but just maybe putting our kids' priorities first, which is a very selfless act. But there does come a point where we need to look within and at our own needs. Because when we're healthy and our best, then our kids get our best and they're going to thrive as well in the homeschool world, right? So that's kind of the approach, the basic introduction that I start with.
Yeah. And I love how just reading through your Prosper Counseling page too, you talk a lot about faith, integrating that into the mental health resources that you offer. So can you, I know a lot of our listeners are Christian or faith-based, and so much of what I found in the mental health field when I was looking, you know, with my children that were adopted and things, that it's not Christ-centered. It is very worldly and I don't know, me-focused really, or there isn't that reliance upon God. It's really like, what can I do? And it still puts the burden on the individual to do all of the work and to do, and yes, there's a component to that, but can you speak to how you integrate faith into what you offer with mental health services?
Yeah. So I do work with faith-based clients and non-faith-based clients both. And if that is something they desire, then we definitely incorporate that. And I ask them how they want it to be incorporated as a Christian and a believer. You know, the way that my practice specifically integrates it is through our similar worldviews and perspective that the word of God is the true word and that we live by that. And so with Prosper Counseling, one of the verses that I really love is 3 John 1:2. And it says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." And so the goal in therapy is that we prosper in all of those areas, like we talked about, physical, mental, emotional, social, because if one of those is off, likely it's going to seep into the other areas, right? And it's going to make everything off kilter. And so we look at scriptures, we incorporate those. The word being well, what that means, if you look at the definition, means that we have good health and that we're sensible and that it's advisable. So we talk about in Deuteronomy 6:18, it says, "Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight so that it may go well with you," and that God's desire is for you to have a life of health and wellness and sensibility. And who doesn't want that, right? That is life-giving and hope-giving. So we talk about what that means for you individually in all of those areas. And we look at each of those 5 areas of wellness: physical, mental, social, and emotionally, spiritually.
Excellent. I love that. Okay. So on that note, can you just walk us through like a scenario of, I know a lot of us moms, especially ones that are homeschooling for so many years, and we do find ourselves lost in our identity with, you know, we're a homeschool mom and that's who we are. And it's not about who we are as women or, you know, the accomplishments that we had prior to. So what would your strategy be for a mom who is kind of in that place and who's listening and is just like, I wish that I could focus on myself, but I have so many other things right now going on. So this just like sounds great, but it really isn't for me right now. How would you bring that mom back around to be like, hey, wait a second, this is totally what you should be focusing on here with yourself as a priority?
Yeah, I think when we get overwhelmed and stressed out, it balloons out so quickly, right? We can very easily go to all of the list of, well, I've got X, Y, and Z going on, and I've got, you know, work or our business, and, oh, we need to get the grocery order, and My like developing these skills in my kids, like they, are they learning to tie their shoes? Are they working on algebra? All these things that we're carrying. And so really it's filtering it down to the core. What I say is like, what's essential, what matters, what are your values? And if we look at what we value, that's where we're going to find like what we need to focus on. And all of those things do matter. And while they're important, we can't accomplish them all at once. So maybe as I'm looking at what is most important in this season or a value that I want to focus on, I'll start with that and work on mastering that or getting it to a place that I feel is within control. And then I can add in from there or add on from there.
Yeah, I think it's really hard for us moms sometimes to look at big picture whole scenario and have a really hard time finding like the very first step that we need to take. So what would you say is the first step that a mom would need to take if she's finding herself just so overwhelmed?
One of the strategies I talk about is just what we're calling our baskets. So baskets A, B, and C. And so this is just a tangible way of like, everything feels important. Everything feels like a priority. And so how do I even know what it is that I'm going to focus on? One of the activities that we do is just listing out what's in basket A. That's your first priority. These are my non-negotiables, the things that I need to focus on right now that are affecting in this moment, day to day, that's what I'm going to focus on. List those out. And then in basket B is like, these are important too. I want to get to them. I may not be able to get to it right now or immediately. That goes in basket B. And then we have our third basket. Basket C is, this is important, but maybe it's not the most important thing right now. I'm going to circle back to that after focusing on basket A and B. So kind of like a list in a sense. So for example, if my child, say my two-year-old is almost ready to potty train and they're getting close to that, I know that, but I've got other priorities right now I need to focus on. Maybe a kid is behind in one of their classwork, core classes, like math or reading, we really need to focus on those skills. Maybe I can put potty training on the back burner for now. It's not going to hurt me to delay that a few months. And so I'm choosing which thing I'm going to focus on. Because when we're looking at trying to tackle it all, it's very hard for our brain to multitask and to be doing all of the things all at once. And that is what gets us to that place of burnout, is it's just too hard to manage all of it.
So when would you recommend a mom who is feeling like burnout or really stressed, what do you think the tipping point is for that parent to seek outside help? Because I know in the Christian community, sometimes therapy, counseling, those kinds of things haven't always been prioritized, or mental health hasn't always been prioritized, or it's been over spiritualized of, oh, well, if you just pray about it, if you just do this thing, if you just read the Bible, then these things will, you know, lighten the load. And I feel like that's a load of crap. I hate to say it like that, but
right. They mean yes. Well in that moment. It's not always practical advice, or then we're getting into, well, if I can't do that, what does that mean about me and my value or my worth when I'm not where I should be or need to be according to what they're saying or telling me.
Right. So what would you think would be signs that it's time for a mom to seek outside help? Because I feel like we've talked about, we don't think about ourselves and we don't think about the time and the energy and the money that it's going to cost to get back where we need to be mentally or spiritually or whatever. So what would you say to a mom?
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, I'd say counseling is good for everyone, and anyone can do it at any point in any season of their life. If there's something you want to focus on, you don't have to have, let's say, a full-blown diagnosis or disorder. You can benefit from it at any point. And your therapist will discuss that with you in your intake or your initial session about what are you wanting to work on. And I also say, like, find a therapist who has also been to therapy and done the work and willing to do the work. And, you know, I have been in counseling myself at different points of life as well, working on areas that I'm like, I need extra help. And so how do I know when I need extra help? What does that look like? Well, since we just said you can go to counseling at any point, it really just depends on, do you feel like you're overwhelmed to the point where it's not working? I've tried everything. I've done these strategies. Nothing's changed. I'm not seeing the progress that I want, right? However, if we look kind of at symptoms of what might be clues or indicators of reaching out for further help, it might be like feeling nervous or restless, feeling tense, having a constant sense of like impending doom or panic, having panic attacks or difficulty with your breathing, sweating, trembling, feeling tired constantly, trouble concentrating or focusing on a task, or there's constant worry or rumination on a certain thing and you can't get your mind off of that. Visible symptoms also can be a clue that our body is stressed out. So you might be having like tummy problems, stomach pains, difficulty controlling that worry. And then when you try to, again, use those strategies to ignore it or get over it, it's not working. And so that's where therapists can come into play, and they can teach you what we call coping strategies or mechanisms to mitigate those symptoms and then empower you. So at some point when you feel like you've mastered those goals, you can manage it on your own.
That's what I was going to say too, is like, when I've all of my kids have been in therapy at one time or another. And I always feel like if there's something that we feel is out of control, that we can't, no matter what we do, we can't fix it, then that's the time to really start considering getting help and seeking therapy when in one capacity or another. And like with my kids, it's always been anxiety has been a big thing with my kids. And when they feel out of control, where they can't handle normal life stressors, then that's been a signal to go talk to our therapist. And that therapist, even for our kids, becomes an extension of our parenting. And so, you know, when you have a good therapist, ours thankfully was a Christian counselor. And so she was able to incorporate a lot of the Christian values into that too, when she approached our kids. And having those conversations with us as parents, these are some of the things that you can work on at home, and doing all those coping skills and stuff. And I kind of wanted to ask about anxiety, because that's something that I know that I deal with a lot of. And we're just talking to Erin about that. I have like stressful events. I was so filled with anxiety last week, and then had an event at my house, and I was just so stressed. And so, and I internalized that, and I don't even realize that it's to that point. I knew that I was worried about it. I knew that I was feeling anxious about it, but not to the point where I was going to wake up Sunday morning with a cold sore, stressed out. Like, I had no idea. And I know that I'm not alone in that. I know that there's a lot of moms, homeschooling or otherwise, that deal with anxiety. And so what are some of those coping skills? Like, what's the list, that you first may address with a mom that is dealing with some of those out of control anxieties, and even ones that might not be out of control per se, but they just don't even really recognize, you know, like, so what are your go-to things for that?
Yeah. I want to mention real quick what you were saying about like recognizing the stressors. I think when you recognize, your day-to-day functioning is not as it once was or should be. That's a really good clue, right? That day-to-day, I'm not able to do or manage what I feel like was within my capacity. That's a really good clue. So your question was strategies for a mother, coping mechanisms. So there are lots of different ones out there, and sometimes they can be really complex, or a lot of them actually can be really simple. And sometimes that we're like, oh, maybe I am doing it. I didn't realize I'm doing it, or I've done it in the past and I need to continue this work. So one of them, I think, is mindfulness. So like you're saying, when you're noticing, I'm noticing when I'm overwhelmed or stressed. So what emotions does that bring up for me? Am I feeling panicked or scared or worried? And then also, where do I notice that in my body? Am I having a racing heartbeat? Am I getting constant migraines? And can I kind of think back and reflect like, oh yeah, that pattern is happening during a really stressful time. So that mindfulness of being aware of what's going on is going to be really important. Things like deep breathing is also really important. Just slowing down, taking a deep breath. And this breath work is really important. We have what we call 4-7-8 breathing, where you want to breathe in for 4 counts. And then you're going to hold it for 7, and then you're going to blow out for 8 counts. And that looks and sounds much different than just a big sigh, right? Like, that allows more oxygen to get into my blood and into my brain. And when I have more oxygen and blood flow, then I'm going to be able to really open up my brain to fire and wire together, which is going to be really important, so that I can make good decisions and have my brain operating as it should be. And what I mean by that is when we're stressed out, we tend to have trouble making decisions, right? Or knowing what to do. We kind of get stuck in that frozen mode. And the reason for that is when our brain becomes so overwhelmed, it stops talking to different parts of the brain. We have what we call our prefrontal cortex. And that is where we have our moral reasoning, our executive functioning, which is like our decision-making and being able to rationalize. And so when we are stressed out or overwhelmed, that shuts off. And then we just have our, what we call our fight, flight, freeze, and fawn response operating. So everything feels panicky. I'm afraid there's a threat of my safety, and I'm trying to escape this problem as quickly as I can. So you, as you think back, what does that look like in your homeschool life? Maybe it's I'm really stressed out and I notice I'm being irritable and I'm yelling. I'm getting short with my kids. Those are clues. Okay, maybe I need to stop, practice my mindfulness, take a deep breath and check in with myself. Take a moment to just quiet and reflect on what has happened. Because our body and our nervous system, our prefrontal cortex won't turn back on until we've regulated that. And so that is why deep breathing is so important and mindfulness is so important and why we need that oxygen flow working. So those are two strategies. Obviously other things that may be familiar to people are things like good sleep, good nutrition, which is hard to do when you've got lots of kids or schedules are busy and you're, you know, eating on the go before games or activities and things like that. But those really do impact how you're feeling, especially when we look at our whole self, when we look at our physical self. And so if we're not feeling well physically, that's going to start having a direct impact on our psychological health as well, our mood and our affect. A big thing I talk about with moms is just self-care. What is your self-care plan or your routine? What does that look like? And that can look different for a lot of people. Maybe it's, you know, soaking in the tub, going and getting your weekly mani or pedi. Maybe it's, I'm going to close the door for 10 minutes in my bedroom and just breathe or read a book. Maybe it's getting a babysitter. Maybe you don't have a babysitter. And so you just have to get creative of, again, like seeking solitude for a few minutes and then checking back in or having a scheduled quiet time in the house. If you have lots of children in the house, you know, it can get very loud and there's lots of different moving components. And so giving yourself permission to say it's okay to shut down and we're all going to be quiet together, because that also serves me well if I need that quiet time. Other things that I like to talk about is self-compassion. So sometimes it's our expectations that I need to be, or I should be, or have I done enough? And so we have these expectations that are set really high that actually maybe are unrealistic and I can't obtain them at all based on my season of life, even though I want that and it's a good thing, you know, getting school done before lunch or having all the chores wrapped up by the end of the day and a clean sink before bed. All of those things are nice in theory, but is it causing me more stress than it is helping me? And it's okay to let something go and say, it's okay, I'm going to bed with this sink full of dishes. It's okay that we didn't get through math, science, reading, everything today, and we just focused on one subject. Because again, if I'm thinking about regulating myself and my emotions, getting it done isn't always first priority, or doesn't really matter, even though that's like what we've been taught. When you think about like our American or Western mindset, right? It's this idea to be productive and to do and accomplish.
And our productive looks different than, you know, every household is going to have a different perspective of what productive is. And sometimes I struggle with that with my husband. Like when he is quote unquote being productive, he's got a project, he's got something he's focused on. And if I'm taking a break and sitting on the couch for 5 minutes, then I feel guilty that, oh, look at him, he's being productive and I'm not. And as us as women, we're being productive even if we're not doing anything, because we always have something going through our minds. And so we have to have that self-compassion, like what you're talking about, and go, what his productive is going to be different than what my productive is. And he's not looking at me like, oh, you're not doing anything, you need to go do, you know, like it's not him. It's what's happening in my head, not what's happening in his head. So we have to take that into consideration too, I think. Go ahead, Erin. I'm sorry I interrupted you. Yeah.
Oh, you're fine. I was just going to point out that on Larissa's website, Prosper Counseling, that there's a free download of self-care And it's a little check, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, just check the box. And I like the things that you have on there are just so simple, like brush your teeth, get dressed, because a lot of the homeschool culture, not everybody, but there's quite a few people who are all like, you know, yoga pants and messy bun, and there's not a lot of effort put into mm-hmm. what we do. And I'm there today. I've got a ponytail. I've got my stretchy pants on because I was running kids to co-op, and that's fine. I'm not shaming anybody that chooses to do that, but I just know that, you know, for me personally, when I take the time to invest in my physical appearance before I leave the house, you stand a little taller. You feel like you know, have accomplished something. And for those of us that were in the corporate world or whatever before homeschooling, you know, having some semblance of that back in our life, you know, wearing the dangly earrings because you don't have the 2-year-old hanging on your hip because you're going out somewhere. You know, sometimes those things are just really helpful for your mental health too. But I love that you just focus on very simple things that are achievable. It's not like you're training for a marathon is one of your self-care things. You know, I mean, that might be a component to what makes you feel healthy is, you know, physical exercise in the form of running, but it's not like the thing that you try to do every day that's big.
Yeah, those little things, what we know and what research tells us is the little things add up over time, and those are going to, in the long run, make us feel more content and more happy. It sounds simple, right? Like brush your hair, brush your teeth, get out of bed. But we've all had days where like, I don't want to do any of that. Or maybe there's been days you have stayed in bed, whether it's for tiredness or feeling depressed or struggling. And so there are times where we do just need those extra reminders. And that's what that checklist is for, is the basics or the essentials. And when I'm stressed out, if I'm struggling with anxiety or depression, those what seem simple things are actually going to be really tasks that I struggle with maybe. And so that's just a motivation, right? A checkpoint, because oftentimes what happens with homeschool moms is in the day-to-day, it can feel lonely at times. Like I'm home with all these children, I'm looking after them, who's looking after me? And that is us as the adults. We have to own that for ourselves and choose to get up each morning and work on that. And if that is a challenge or is difficult for you, then yes, that might be an indicator that you need to seek outside help as well. And Amanda, going back to what you were talking about with your husband, and yeah, men and women are wired so differently, and it is hard for our brains to shut off. And again, it's out of a good place. We have all of these things that we're thinking about that we wouldn't be thinking about them unless we thought they were important, right? And so it can be easy to get into maybe like a comparison game of like, oh, well, it's easy for my husband to just shut it all off. Why can't I? And then we get into that really self-defeating talk, or even in homeschool families of what we see. Oh, well, they can do it this way. Why can't I? Or I should be doing it more like that. Or they make it look so easy. And so that comparison, again, can be a deterrent more than a help, even though we think it's helping. Oh, I'll just ask so-and-so how they do it, and then maybe I can just mirror that, right? And one of the things I really like about, I think it was maybe in a previous podcast, you just have mentioned about how your two homes look very different in the homeschool day and what you choose to focus on. And so I love that.
Could we shift gears a little bit and talk about something that I think isn't really discussed a lot, is ADHD in women and like highly sensitive or sensory aversion? Because I know for myself, I get really overstimulated. And when I've got like kids all day and they're talking, and I just feel like, oh man, I don't really have the best executive function skills myself. And so I feel a lot of times, and I know I've talked with lots of moms who just feel like failures every day because we do have these high expectations, but we just don't seem to get there. Do you want to talk a little bit about that or some of the signs or symptoms that you can point out? Because I think it would be really helpful. I think there's a lot of moms that maybe have some of those things going on and just have never thought about it.
Totally. Yeah. So ADHD is just, you know, trouble focusing, concentrating, keeping your attention on things, maybe having impulse control difficulties. We might also see it with difficulty controlling our emotions, especially when it comes to like irritability and anger. And so, man, that might be checking off the box on your list when you think about a difficult day, right? I think we've all been there. And I think that is what is so tricky about mental health, is because also those symptoms do really also overlap when we look at things like stress or anxiety. And so these are all different things. And so while, yes, women do have ADHD and can struggle with that and struggle with anxiety, but that again is where a trained professional can really help weed that out and let you know, hey, I think this is maybe something that we're dealing with. And then let's look at what goals we want to set in therapy to help you have, again, feel empowered and have those coping skills to manage it. And then sometimes if necessary, we also look at medication management. So psychiatric medications to help with some of the way our brain works and our chemistry in our brain to help things fire and wire as they're supposed to. So you're talking about sensitivities as well. So there is a term out there called being a highly sensitive person. I'm not sure if you have heard that terminology before. Yes.
Yes.
And I myself can really resonate with this term. It is not a mental health diagnosis. It's not something that it's a terminology that is out there, but you would not find it in what we call our DSM or how we diagnose people. But it is something to be aware of and a term that's becoming more popular. And basically what it means is when you think about sensory input, that you can be very sensitive to it. So sight, sound, taste, touch, smell, maybe the fluorescent lights in a room, maybe the volume. For me, that's a really challenging one. When my kids are really loud, I feel very overstimulated and overwhelmed. And so we have to work through that. What does that look like? A certain touch can really activate people's stress signals. Maybe it's like the touch of like velvet or something scratchy or
cornstarch,
yeah, Play-Doh, right?
I remember even children,
maybe they don't like to touch certain things, or they don't like how, I remember one of my kids for a while didn't want to wear jeans because they feel stiff and kind of hard versus sweatpants that are soft and stretchy, right? And so we can have sensitivities to these things. And if we're constantly being inundated or bombarded with that, it's going to be really hard to feel calm and relaxed and focused. And so as a mom, if there are certain triggers in our day that we're constantly encountering, then yes, we're going to feel off. We're going to feel irritable. We're going to feel anxious. And so that's another place where mindfulness is important, thinking about my feelings and where I'm noticing in that body. Is it an emotion, or maybe it's an outside stimulus that is impacting me?
Is it possible to have been completely normal and then having children and it breaks you? And it makes you a highly sensitive person with ADHD, because that's the way I feel. So I'm like, I used to be normal.
Yes.
And then I tell my husband, overtouched and so overstimulated. Go ahead, Erin.
No, I was just going to say, I joke with my husband that I have situational ADHD, because right. When I'm constantly being interrupted throughout the day, trying to get science done with the older kids, and I've got my 5-year-old at my feet, I'm constantly like, I can't get back on track. You know, it's harder for me to get back on track than it is for my kids sometimes, because I've just been so overstimulated by the mom, I mm-hmm. need this. I need this now. And then I'm just trying to sit down in front of the kids with a book and read to them. And then I've got this little one in my ear, and it's not her fault. That's 5, you know,
right.
And it's not the kids who are trying to listen. They're not doing anything wrong. It's just me trying to get back from, okay, now I have to go upstairs and I have to get this and I have to do that. And now I'm thinking about my schedule and I'm like running out of time, and now I have to go to this class afterwards. And it really can ruin my day if I let it, if I don't use those skills.
100%. I have a child that did not sleep through the night until he was 7 years old, and he would crawl into bed with me. And so I did not get a full night, like well-rested sleep for years. And like he has sensory processing disorder, and he would wake up because his body needed sensory input. And once we got him a weighted blanket, then that's when he started sleeping through the night. He's 14, and I don't think he would still be sleeping through the night if he hadn't had that weighted blanket for a long time. But he'd come crawling into bed with me, and you know, you wear the like a tank top to sleep. He would push on the strap of the tank top into my skin to make an indention, and then move the strap so he could feel the indention as a sensory thing. I've been overstimulated for at least 18 years and
chronically overstimulated, right? So we've got this like buildup that we have to undo, especially as moms.
It turns you into an highly sensitive person, doesn't it? Like, just give me a week by myself, not listening to anything, and then maybe that would reset.
That's such a great point. And like Erin said, like, it's not the child's fault, right? They're just being themselves. They're developmentally where they need to be and what they should be doing. And so as a mom, it's us figuring out how to manage that and what that looks like. And so when we lash out or we lose our temper and we have this guilt or shame that can creep in, like, oh, why did I do that? Like, I shouldn't have. And we feel really bad about that. And then that can really impact the mood or in the air that day of school, right? And then everything feels tense or like, we're just off. And so it's really important that if you do lose it, that we just correct it and we go to the child and repair that and say, hey, I'm sorry, mommy got mad and I shouldn't have done that. And making sure that we're acknowledging that and correcting it. And that's great modeling for our children too, like what that looks like when we do lose it, because we all will at some point or another. And, you know, one of the statistics out there about anxiety, just as we're sharing our stories of what that mental health looks like in each of your families, the statistic is that 27% of Americans 18 or older have anxiety symptoms of the anxiety disorder. And so that was recent from the 2022 CDC statistics. So if you think about that, that's over 1 in 4 Americans who have anxiety. So it's very likely if you have more than 4 people in your family, maybe someone's dealing with that, or you know someone in your extended family or in your community, your co-op, your churches. And so just being cognizant of these things, if it's not something you struggle with, it may help you understand someone in your circle a little bit better. And as we're talking about a highly sensitive person, or what we call HSP, I was listening to really interesting information recently. It was a psychologist, Dr. Rick Hansen, and he was talking about women and occupations of being a stay-at-home mom. And he said that 98% of the occupations in the world are less stressful than being a home alone with young children or managing the home day to day. And what the research found is that cortisol levels, which is our stress hormone, are higher and emotions are higher, and it creates tremendous pressure day to day on the mom or whoever the person is at home. So we're at home all day schooling our children. We're with people we care a lot about, but oftentimes we don't have breaks. We're constantly being inundated or interrupted. So we have a lot of lack of control of our day. There's a lot of things we can't control. How many times they're interrupted, or who's sick, or who's throwing up, or who isn't in the mood to do the work today. There's a lot of things that feel outside of our control with those interruptions. And then we're around a lot of tiny little people who have really intense emotions, and it can go from 0 to 100 really fast. And so I just thought that was really fascinating. And they compared these cortisol stress levels in the brain to high stress jobs, such as police officers or those who work in the ER or in combat. It was still higher. The cortisol levels were still higher.
Yeah.
So
I believe it.
I don't know. What do you guys think about that? What do you glean from that information? What does that say about moms?
I think it's insightful because, like we've talked about, moms, we feel this pressure, but it's not external. Obviously it's internal pressure that we put on ourselves. And I think when we understand the psychology and the, you know, the chemical things that are happening in our body, or being highly sensitive or having those high cortisol levels compared to people that we would look at and say, I could never be an emergency doctor. Like, I could never be a firefighter. I could never. And yet here we are with this highly stressful environment that we asked for and we want to be in. You know, I think it's interesting to see that. I think it's helpful for me.
Yeah. I think it makes sense to me because, you know, I was in the corporate world. I worked in clinical trials for a while before we unexpectedly needed to homeschool. And so when you're in a regular job, you're going through the motions. You don't have time to be anxious. You just, you know, I remember waking up at 6:30, breastfeeding one kid, getting breakfast for another kid, you know, getting cartoons set up for them so I could get ready for work, still having to pump. And then, you know, so I had milk for the day and so I'd be able to last for a while when I was at work without having to pump, and then dropping 3 kids off at 3 different schools and still getting to work by 9. And I remember doing those, but that was just part of the motion. And I don't remember the stress of it. I mean, I was worried about them. I wanted to make sure that they were happy, healthy, and safe and all of those things, but that wasn't the regular. It was just so much more just moving through the motions of the day and less about all of this is on me. Right. So like the stress is just, it's just a different kind of, I don't know. It's just so different. And so it doesn't surprise me at all. And I do think that I am more stressed now as a homeschooling mom than I was as a person trying to balance three kids. You know, my husband was in college full-time and working full-time when our youngest was born and was doing homework in the hospital room. You know, you think about that now as like, well, that was stressful, but it's nothing to compare to. It's so wild to me that, and yeah. Because we just have all of this, the world is on our shoulders really as homeschooling yes. moms. And if we screw this up, right? I mean, there's some pretty bad consequences for that. And I know that all of us, if we're concerned about that and we don't want to mess it up, then that means that we're most likely going to be good moms and we're doing our best and we're working at yes. it. Just asking that question means mm-hmm. that something, you know, people that are bad moms don't ask the question, they don't care. Right. So right. It's okay for us to be questioning that. And that prompts us to be better parents. And of course that's going to propagate more stress. Right.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. I think it goes back to that self-compassion, right? Thinking about, okay, like this is stressful. It's a little bit like validating why I maybe feel all over the place sometimes in everything that I'm carrying. And I think, again, we're quick to, as moms who are educating at home, we're quick to, again, put off our needs, maybe for our husband. Well, he's been at work all day and he deserves to rest when he gets home and I need to cook a good meal for us or whatever those expectations are. And yes, all of those things are good and true, but when are you resting, right? I think rest is so important, finding those quiet moments to recover. And we know that like our attention spans, even as adults, is only about 45 minutes. And so are we giving ourselves breaks in the day? Or am I just like, I got to rush to the next thing. If we're not giving our brain a break, it is going to be hard to stay focused. It is going to be hard to stay on task. And it's okay to give ourselves permission to rest. Like maybe, again, just going with that analogy, dad comes home, if he's been working all day, it's okay that I can sit and rest too, not out of a place of entitlement, but that we all need it in order, again, to be my best tomorrow. I do have to sit down and rest and be able to turn my brain off. And sometimes it's hard, like, well, I'm sitting down, maybe I'm watching a show with my family or we're doing something, but is your brain shutting down as well? Are you able to turn that off?
Well, I know Aaron and I have no problems just throwing our kids at our husbands. So the listeners need to know that that's okay to do too. Like we can go, okay, we've had them all day. You get a minute, you know? So, but I know a lot of our friends are like that too, where they're like, oh yeah, I've had a day. But Aaron's really good. Aaron and her husband are both really good about child sharing and they do have, there's a lot of balance there and I appreciate that. And there's not that kind of balance in my house, but it's getting better. So as the older they get,
I think that could be a great coping strategy for the stress, right? Are we looking at our tasks or our roles? And is there more of a load that another person could take? Or maybe there's this one task that I really dislike, or maybe I really just don't like doing the science portion of the school day. And maybe in the evenings when dad's home, he's willing to take that on. And it's just something that puts me on edge or makes me irritable. So instead of all of us suffering, maybe there's a better way, right? Being creative about that and letting go of some of our expectations. It's okay if we school in the evening or right before bed, it's still productive.
Yeah.
So
when I was pregnant with my last kid, I sat down because I was doing so much. I was carrying more of the load of the household load. And of course I was working then. But I wrote out all of the chores, all of the tasks that I needed to do for the home. And I wrote out a list of all the tasks that my husband did and all the tasks that my older boys were doing. And my list, you know, filled the page and theirs was much, much smaller. And I gave that list to my husband and I said, this is what I currently do. Pick five things that you can do, because once we have this baby, there's no way that I can maintain this load. And I've said that to several people that have felt stress in their lives and have kind of been feeling that same way that I was feeling during that time. And men oftentimes are visual. They don't know what you're doing if you're not telling them, or they don't see it, if it's not written down. And so it helps to communicate that in a way that they understand. As soon as he saw that list, he went, oh, whoa, I didn't know that you were doing this much. Yes, of course I'll take these things. And so that was helpful for him to be able to see that. So that might be advice for someone, you know, other homeschool moms that are so inundated with all the things, write it out. I mean, it takes time mm-hmm. to figure out everything that you're doing, and but it's worth that, because when you show that to your husband, more likely than not, they're going to go, oh, I had no idea. Let me take some of this off of your load. Right.
Yeah. That's good. You got to name it and put it out there. They mm-hmm. can't guess what's on our mind, right? People mm-hmm. don't know what we're thinking unless we say it. And I'd add to that too, is there something that our kids can do and take off our plate? Sometimes we feel like I have to be the one to get it all done, but that's a great life skills to teach them, right? Of things that they can also learn. If it's thinking about chores or responsibilities, maybe they can begin to take some of those things on with you.
I love that. So I have two more topics I really want to touch on before we close this episode out. But the first one is, and Amanda's alluded to it a little bit, is a lot of us homeschool moms are teaching or homeschooling because we have children with special needs. I have two children that are considered special needs just because of their situation through foster care. Amanda's talked about the anxiety and the sensory processing and things. So how does that also play into the stress levels that we feel at home and the burden or responsibility that we feel to not screw things up?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think it probably looks a little bit different for each mother, depending on what the needs are. But I think what I'm hearing out of that, the biggest thing is I want the best for my kid, and I want to give them access to as many things to thrive as possible. And so we carry that. And then also kind of being the gatekeeper of maybe like tracking their milestones or development and feeling the responsibility of like seeking out all the best resources or keeping up with doctor appointments or medications, whatever it might be. And so that can be very stressful. It's also a gift that you get to be the person overseeing that if you're choosing to homeschool, right? So it is a double-edged sword, I think, there. What would you say as what you've experienced?
Oh, goodness. I think it doesn't help to compare our kids, but we do, in a sense, really want what everybody else has, you know, for our kids. In the way of experience, like you were talking about. So finding that balance of knowing their limitations and abilities, and then the things that they excel in too, because I think it is easy for us to focus on the negative, or it's easy to focus on all of the extra things that come with having children that have specific needs that are more challenging to meet. Whereas if you've got a neurotypical child and they just kind of sail through, and then you've got this kid that seems to take all your energy and mental space and resources, you know, it just can really feel like, you know, you don't want to take that out on a child. It's not their fault, but coping as a mom with the extra that the child brings to this situation with homeschooling, I think can be really just, I think just acknowledging it, I think is a really big thing. And sometimes we don't want to acknowledge that, or we don't want to see in ourselves sometimes that maybe sometimes we're not helping the situation by harping on it too much. So
that's good. Yeah. I think being aware of how it impacts you, again, going back to that mindfulness of how is this stressing me out? Is this adding to or impacting my stressors? And are there things that, again, resources or other professionals who can help, or therapies that I can get them in to help carry the load, and that I don't have to do that alone. There is a lot of community outside of just co-ops and homeschool groups where you can get help there. Again, finding a good self-care plan of how to manage this, because this will be my day-to-day. And so how do I learn to live in a high stress environment? For some of us, we don't have that luxury to take away the thing that is a stressor for us. And so I have to find a way to live with this situation or this dynamic.
I do think it's important for moms, particularly moms, because they carry the care load, to have therapy in some way, shape, or form when they have special needs children. That's something, as we're talking, I'm thinking back like, yeah, that probably would have helped me. Had, you know, when my son was in occupational therapy, and then my older son had play therapy, like when you're going running pillar to post, trying to balance all the therapies and worried about their success rate in society, and wanting just to make sure that they have the appropriate chance in life, that is a very difficult thing to cope with. And it is important for us to have someone to talk to about that. There have been a lot of times when I've taken my son to occupational therapy and finding out new things that were quote unquote wrong and wondering, oh, how are we going to do this? And crying to myself and not sharing that with anyone and just bottling all of that up. And of course that contributes to life in the household, that contributes to anxiety, that contributes to stress and cortisol levels, like what you're talking about. Like it can affect, ripple effect anything and everything else just by having that stress. So if you do have a special needs child, consider yourself in that, you know, you're also special needs and it would behoove you to seek therapy, whether that be telehealth, like what Larissa is saying, she does telehealth. There's options for us now that might, we didn't have telehealth when my son was in OT, you know, so that wasn't a thing until really COVID. So now we can utilize these opportunities that COVID brought us by, you know, where there was this need that needed to be filled during COVID. And now some of those things that rightfully have stayed, like the telehealth things. And so leave the kids with your husband, go into the bedroom or bathroom or whatever, and have a telehealth appointment and get some of those things out so you can be a better mom the next day and to be able to handle the stress that that day's come.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll say that too. A couple of years ago, I was just in a really rough place. And so I sought out therapy for myself, and I was meeting every single week for like over 6 months. And really, like Larissa said, just talking about specific things that were really bothering me. And that helped me immensely. And I still use those tools that I learned, and it was really helpful. And just, even if I felt like I wasn't going to get anything from the session or something, which I totally did get things from the session, but just taking that time to drive there or to listen to a podcast or the radio on the way, and knowing that I wasn't going to be interrupted. And, you know, that in and of itself was a silver lining I hadn't really thought of until I was in it. And then I could drive home and then process the things. So yeah, just, I just really love that we're doing this episode because it's such a timely place, I think, in the school year, closing up the end of the year, spring break is happening all around us. And it just feels like a lot, you know, we're in the middle of planning for next year and focusing or taking some time to focus on our own mental health before we jump into the next school year is so important. I just can't recommend it enough. So one last thing before we close, I wanted to talk about marriage and how that plays into all.
Don't do it. It's a trap. No.
Because like we've talked about, there's all kinds of relationships out there. Some of us have extremely supportive husbands. Some of us don't. Some of us are divorced. I know lots of single moms that are homeschooling. Can you just address that a little bit? You know, that's one of the things that comes into the big picture in the puzzle when we talk about our stress levels as moms is the dynamic with our significant other.
Yes, that is a dynamic, right? And it can impact a lot of things. I think that goes into the social category. If we look at our holistic wellness, physical and mental, emotional, spiritual, and social. So what does my social health look like? That would be relationships with friends, in marriage. What are we in alignment on or not in alignment on? And maybe we need to pay attention to some of those areas and have some conversations around that. You know, are we on the same page about home educating, or do we have different opinions about our kids' needs and what's best for them? So that can be a huge stressor and really impact the family dynamic there as well, right? In the choices that we're making, because home educating is a family decision. It impacts our whole lifestyle. So it is a big part of it. You know, thinking about just in our personal experience, and we decided to homeschool, I had to have a conversation with my husband about that and what that would look like. And not just what my opinion was and thought about it, but what he thought, and making sure both people's voices are being heard, and keeping in mind what's best for our children, not just like what we want as an individual. And that can be hard because you're dealing with two people with two different wants and desires.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's one thing when I went into fostering with my husband, and that's the advice I give to all the foster parents or prospective foster and adoptive parents, is if you two are not a team, it is not worth your marriage to fight over that. Same with homeschooling. Like there's no reason that, you know, your marriage is first, the kids are second. Well, God is first, then your marriage, and you know, then the kids. So that's just always something to keep in mind. If your marriage is suffering because of the choices that you're making, then that's the thing that needs to be the focal point of the decision process, not the other things. Yeah. Do you have
couples counseling, if that was an issue to work through, is like, what are we going to do about home educating? Couples work doesn't have to just be that we're, you know, having issues within our marriage. So there's lots of benefit there too from seeing a licensed professional.
Yeah. Like a mediator almost sort sometimes. Oh, I love that. Well, thank you so much, Larissa, for all of your information. I know it was just really encouraging for me to talk with you today and just to hear some of the things that you talked with coping and how to process things as a highly anxious homeschool mom, you know, who's been doing this for a long time. And it just really, I think, is so always a great conversation to have, is the need for taking care of your own mental health. So I know that you're going to be speaking soon at the Bloom and Blossom Conference in Springfield, Missouri on April 22nd. We can put a link to that registration for anybody that's listening that would like to go. And you're going to be sharing more about homeschool burnout and just all of those lovely things that you have there. So how can our listeners find you? What's your website? And
so my website is prospercounsel.com, and I am on Instagram and Facebook, so you can find me there. And then if you go to psychologytoday.com, you look up Larissa Darden. You can also view my profile there and see what kind of services I offer for counseling.
Excellent. And like you mentioned, you do telehealth. So anyone listening, wherever in the world that you're listening, you can hook up with an appointment with Larissa if you would like to. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I had a blast talking about mental health.
Thank you for joining us today. Have you enjoyed our podcast? Be sure to check out our website, goathomeschoolingpodcast.com, where you can listen to our full catalog of episodes, read our blog, leave a review, contact us with questions, or submit a request to be on the show. While you're there, go ahead and subscribe to our weekly newsletter that's delivered to your inbox. You can also find us on Facebook at Goat Homeschooling with Erin and Amanda, our Facebook discussion page, Goat Homeschooling Podcast Discussion, and on Instagram at Goat Homeschooling Podcast. And if you really love what you hear, please be sure to tell your best friend, tag us on social media, and leave a review or 5 stars wherever you listen.